Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 41, verse 11 through chapter 42, verse 6. A lesson about trusting God's word above our own judgment. When Johanan, the son of Kareah's fear that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, might want to kill Gedaliah sadly proved to be true, he and the rest of Judah's survivors came to trust their own judgment above God's word. It's a great sin. But it's typical of carnal believers today, according to Christ's Revelation 3:14-22 prophecy of our era. So we view Jeremiah 41:11-42:6 on that event for our insight and for our edification. In other words, this very important passage actually deals with something that Christ predicted for our era. So it has tremendous application for us, and I'm looking at it from that perspective. Let me read the passage first. And then we'll look at it. Jeremiah chapter 41, beginning at verse 11, going to 42, verse 6. But when Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the guerrilla forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had done, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael the son of Nethaniah and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. Now it came to pass when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the guerrilla forces that were with him, then they were glad. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about, or turned about, and returned and went to Johanan the son of Kareah. But Ishmael the son of Nethaniah escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went over to the Ammonites. Then took Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces that were with him, all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, from Mizpah, after that he had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, even mighty men of war, and the women and the children and the eunuchs whom he had brought again from Gibeon, that they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is beside Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt because of the Babylonians. For they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. Then all the captains of the guerrilla forces and Johanan the son of Kareah and Jeshaniah the son of Hoshaiah and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I've heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. The word evil in verse 6 there is not that God's going to make people do that which is wicked. The evil word deals with whether it's difficult or calamitous or hard. Say whether it be easy or hard. It's a very general word, the word evil there. It can mean moral evil, but most of the time, a lot of the time, it just means calamitous or difficult. So that's what we have to read it this way. Okay. When Ishmael slew Babylon's puppet governor Gedaliah and took Hebrew survivors of Jerusalem's fall and headed south to go towards Ammon, Johanan the son of Kareah and the other guerrilla leaders pursued and caught up with Ishmael at Gibeon, which is 4 miles south of Mizpah, where he'd taken him. Now, the reason he was heading south is because in order to get over to Ammon, you have to go down that way in order to get the road that goes to the east, that cuts down into the Araba or the Jordan Valley, then over to the nation of Ammon. So that's why they're headed in that direction. So anyway, the guerrilla leaders caught up with him only 5 miles later. And the reason for that is because they had women and children and people, so they couldn't go very fast. And so the guerrilla forces, who were used to being out in the field, they could do double time, and they got down there and met them. Well, Ishmael's captives then saw Jonathan's forces, So they rejoiced. I say this, Johanan. Anyway, that's a correction that I need to make on my part. And they rejoiced and turned around to go back north to Johanan, while Ishmael and other guerrilla forces leaders took all of the rest of the people left from former Gedaliah's administration and went to stay near Bethlehem, another 10 miles south of Gibeon. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Ishmael's captives then saw Johanan's forces arrive. So they rejoiced, turned around to go back north to while Ishmael and eight of his men kept on going south to flee to Ammon for protection. So you've got Johanan and company, they're coming south after the group, and the group captives turn around and see Johanan, so they start to go back this way. Well, Ishmael continues on south, but this time he's continuing on south in high gear because he's trying to run for his own life. So that's very interesting. So Johanan and all the other guerrilla force leaders took all the rest of the people left from former Gedaliah's administration and went to stay near Bethlehem, another 10 miles south of Gibeon. They didn't go back to Mizpah at all. They kept on going south. Their intent was to continue on south toward Egypt for protection, for they feared the Babylonians would return to take vengeance on them for the assassination of Babylon's puppet governor, Gedaliah. Now, that doesn't really make sense, because if they had stayed in the area and the king of Babylon had come back, the king of Babylon would have looked upon them as people who were loyal to him because they're waiting around for him. But anyway, they just didn't trust the Babylonians at all. However, before actually going down into Egypt, Johanan and all the people with him approached Jeremiah, the prophet of God, to ask that he pray to God that the Lord might show him what they were to do. Jeremiah replied that he would pray, just as they requested, that whatever the Lord told him to say, that would he say to them. The people replied that the Lord be a true and faithful witness between them and Jeremiah, that they would do all that the Lord directed him to tell them, be it good or unpleasant, that they might enjoy God's blessing by obeying the voice of the Lord. Now, the reason I stopped the lesson at that point and I didn't go any further, I know how this thing turns out anyway, was that these words don't make sense. They're incredibly illogical and incredibly hypocritical, and I want to explain why. These pious words from these people were impossible to believe given their past record. Johanan, the son of Kareah, had previously secretly offered the late puppet governor Gedaliah his services of murdering Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, which is a clear violation of the law in Exodus 20, verse 13. You remember in Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 15, he had offered to do that. So this is not a godly man. I mean, he's looking for anything that is expedient to help himself out, and he's willing to violate Scripture boldly in order to do what he thinks is be in his best interests. In addition, going to Egypt violated God's Deuteronomy 17:16 call that they not go there. In Deuteronomy 17:16, in God's command through Moses to the king, the Lord had said, don't go back to Egypt to get horses in order to build up your fleet, because you are not to go back there. In fact, the Lord had said, you shall not go back there, back that way. So planning to go into Egypt is a direct violation of another passage in Scripture. See, these people are really not interested in the Lord at all. Also, Jeremiah's repeat words against false prophets to the contrary, that Babylon would invade and destroy Jerusalem if it did not surrender to Babylon. He did it in Jeremiah 38, 1 and 3. He did it in Jeremiah 38, 17 to 18 to the king. He did it back in Jeremiah 28, 1 to 7 in front of false prophets. All of those repeat prophecies by Jeremiah had come true, according to Jeremiah 39. So that proved by means of Deuteronomy 18, 21 to 22 that Jeremiah was a true prophet. See, all the other prophets had said, don't worry about Babylon. It won't come here. It won't take us. Jeremiah was the only one who said, yes, it will. Yes, it will. So Jeremiah, according to Deuteronomy 18, 21 to 22, since Jeremiah was the only prophet whose words came true, he was the only true prophet. So These people were supposed to pay attention to the prophet Jeremiah, and he had constantly said, you're supposed to surrender to Babylon, you're supposed to submit to Babylon. But these people are trying to do just the opposite. They don't want to submit to Babylon. They don't really trust the Lord. They don't trust God's word through his servant, the prophet. Now, if God's will, according to his prophet's messages, was that Judah's people submit to Babylon, for them to consider going to Egypt, a foe of Babylon that had caused Judah, Ammon, and Tyre to rebel against Babylon, resulting in Jerusalem's fall to Babylon, we learned that last week, was to violate God's word by Jeremiah that they submit to Babylon. So for these people to approach Jeremiah, promising to submit to whatever God told them through him to do, in view of their past history and even current intent on going to Egypt, was extremely hypocritical. They're just lying. They're not even telling the truth. You know, this demonstrates the justice of God in sending the Babylonians in to destroy Jerusalem and to capture the people. The morals of the people were such that murder and lying was something that wasn't a big deal for them at all. And they would actually lie openly about the Lord and about obeying the Lord's will, openly. So it's amazing that Jeremiah ministered to this group for 40 years, but no wonder there were no converts. They just accept Obed-Edom, the Ethiopian slave. Nevertheless, this is precisely a huge problem in today's evangelical churches. In Christ's message to our era of church history that we've covered many times, the Laodicean church, at Revelation 3:14, Jesus referred to himself as the faithful and true witness, a phrase that occurs elsewhere in Scripture only at Jeremiah 42:5 that we just covered. But in Revelation 3:14, the words true and faithful in the phrase are in reverse order to highlight the faithfulness of Christ. In other words, the emphasis that Christ has today is, I will faithfully be true, and disciplining those who are carnal and not paying attention to the message. So in application, just like the people who approached Jeremiah, carnal believers in evangelical churches today do not truly view God's servants as led by God, but try to use them to validate their own plans. I was talking to a believer one time who had been in our church and who's no longer in our church, and I just happened to mention that I was called of the Lord. He said, you called of the Lord? He just laughed. He laughed in my face. You're not called of the Lord. So he told me, I was shocked. But that's what he said, just like that. No wonder he didn't stay around, but you know, that's something that you just face today. In solution, church leaders today must trust God as did Jeremiah faithfully to handle carnal people who do not view them as God's real servants today, but who try to manipulate them for their own plans. When Johanan rescued the Hebrew refugees from Ishmael, instead of believing the word of the Lord through his prophet Jeremiah, the people relied on their own judgment and simply tried to manipulate Jeremiah to validate their own plans to complete in complete hypocrisy. Jeremiah had to rely on the Lord to judge these people. So if we fail to view God's human leaders as his servants, may we repent and heed God's word in leading through them for blessing. If we instead try to manipulate God's servants to validate our own plans, even due to fear, pretending to submit to his servants, be sure God will discern this sin and discipline accordingly. Shortly after I came to Nepog Church, I was with the committee that was here, the candidate committee. I was asked to go to see a former elder in our church who no longer is living. He's deceased now. And this former elder was a photographer, professional photographer, and they wanted him to take my picture, and they were going to put the picture in the paper and, you know, so forth, since I was a new pastor. So I went to see this elder. He had been an elder who had been in the church here before me. And as he was taking my picture, he started to tell me, he said, the reason I'm no longer at Epog Church is because, he said, the people there are living in a lie. And I was shocked. I couldn't understand what he said. He said, there are a lot of people who are coming up and they're befriending you now. They're befriending you not because they're going to follow you as pastor. They're befriending you because they want to influence you to do what they want to see done in the church. They're not there to follow you. And I thought he was over the top. And he said, you may not believe me now, but you watch my words. Well, I thought, you know, this is pretty strong. But I thought, I'm not going to, you know, just take negative news about people. I'm going to be very careful. Well, as I continued in the ministry, I found within about 18 months to 2 years that for the most part, that statement was actually accurate. A significant number of people were actually there trying to see what they could do to control or influence me to do what they wanted me to do. And when I realized that, that suddenly became very scary. So what I decided to do is I'm going to have to just trust the Lord, because it's difficult to know what's going on, who's going on, and so forth. So I did. I started to rely on the Lord. And then in the midst of this, we had a Christian school that eventually closed. There was the start of another church, which ended up being Faith Bible Church and so forth. There were just lots of brands in the fire. But this other issue was a big, big issue. And what I decided to do is just trust the Lord, love the people, and go at it, and just keep my eye on what Scripture said and just keep doing what I knew God wanted me to do. As a result, in time, there was a tremendous turnover in the body. But it was a wake-up call. And I, at that time, I did not know what Revelation 3, 14 to 22 taught. I didn't understand the teaching of the passage at all. And the Lord has revealed it to me since then. In fact, it became very clear and open and apparent to me starting there about the year 2000 and going on. Well, I came in 1982, which is quite a bit before that. But this is a problem that occurs all over evangelicalism today. The reason people view ministers this way is because they've been burned in other churches. And so they're very defensive, and as these people were, they were afraid of Babylon. And because of the very defensive, they have a tendency to manipulate out of fear, because they really don't trust that God is leading their leaders. And so that's something that has to change. God's people need to, if there is a leader who has demonstrated evidence that the Lord is leading them and so forth, God holds us responsible to follow that leadership. Obviously, keeping our eye on the Word of God, but nevertheless, to follow and obey that leadership. The leaders need to keep their hearts and their minds clear, like Jeremiah did, and just do the will of God. If we do the will of God and obey the Lord, He'll take care of us in the process. But it was a difficult time in Jeremiah's time at this time after the fall of Babylon. We're living in difficult times today, and so people are nervous, and so there's a tendency to be very untrusting. So we have to be very careful and keep our eyes on the Lord and then relate very carefully to other people.